Hey guys.
Hey, what's up everybody?
So we are back for part two. Interview with Tyrone and Anika Jones.
Yeah, the Joneses.
As you've heard, the first part of this interview was so good.
Yes,
if you're like us, you learned a lot and you kind of took away a lot. So we just want to introduce you guys to part two. So go ahead and take a listen.
There's a lot more. Keep it locked. Let's go. So good. So good. So speaking of community and you guys like ministry journey, what's that been like for each of you? We've seen, Tyrone develop through the years, but if you can talk through some of that and also Anika, some of the things that you've kind of like your ministry, your YouTube ministry, we want to hear a little bit about that as well.
Yes, ministry just kind of started to evolve, if you will. It was coming with the greatest ability is availability. So just making ourselves available to serve and to help. And that started, when we first got married, we were serving at Faith, Bible study group on campus. Mm-hmm. And just by, helping and connecting with the young people there. And then just, as we moved up here, we just started helping out in the various parts with various ministries that was just being developed because it was a new church. Whether it was the youth, whether it was the men, whether it was just Bible study, Sunday school, we just had this mindset of, hey, being available to serve.
That's really good.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we all got started. And with that, just different responsibilities came.
Yeah, and I think we knew going into marriage, even though we didn't understand the magnitude, it was we had received different prophetic words along the way about God wanting to use us specifically together in ministry. So we knew, but we just didn't know what it looked like. And even when we first got married, I don't know if you remember Elder Blessing.
We had Elder Blessing was his name.
Yeah.
An elder from Nigeria.
Wow.
And I actually just connected with him not too long ago. But he just, again, we probably were at each other's throats.
It was horrible.
Just moments before in the car. But we went to church, on the way to church.
And we were serving as greeters. Yes. Yes. And we were, I think, I'm smiling at everybody else and just mad
and
at
just
everybody. Mad at each other, but smiling at everybody else. And I remember just him, walking by, going in a different direction. And it was like, you could tell it was like the Holy Spirit just arrested him and he stopped, turned around and came by both of us, just smiling, just a very upbeat type of person. He was like, I just sense that God really wants to use the both of you. You guys don't even understand the magnitude of what he wants to do with both of you together in ministry. And I'm thinking, brother, if you only knew that this man is working my nerves. And sometimes I don't even know if I'm saved right now.
That's real.
So, but the Lord knew that we needed that reminder in that moment.
And those words that he spoke continue to ring in our hearts. And so through the ups and downs, that became the fuel to, that we fell back on to keep us going.
Yeah.
But even with all that said, I don't think that it was, even though we were serving, I think it was something that we struggled through, honestly, from understanding how to balance it all, how to be in sync with each other. Because there were certain times, if we were going to be honest, when we first started off, and things started to increase, we weren't really in sync with each other, even though we were serving. And I feel like sometimes the enemy, I know that there were times where we allowed the enemy to come in, even in the process of us serving and creating division between us as opposed to unity. And almost sometimes I felt like there was competition, between us, because again, a lot of flesh and working things out and not learning how to depend on each other's strengths to balance each other out. So even though we knew and we were serving, I can't say that it was always easy.
Yes, you know, and the challenge is, as things picked up from a ministerial standpoint, our lives became more complex.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, obviously the career, starting a career is much different than just studying as a student.
Absolutely.
And so early on, I took on additional responsibilities that, looking back, that created more, it created weight.
Because you're an educator as well.
Exactly.
You both were educators.
Yeah. And so we're both educators, and every professional is a demanding profession, but in particular, you go through peaks and non-peak seasons. But with education, you require to continue to be a lifelong educator. That's the cliche that you continue to hear. And as a result, you know, going to graduate school, working full time, serving in a ministry capacity, and it became full time, and as well becoming parents. So it just swelled. And as a result, that created tension.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we didn't know, we didn't do well with balance, because I didn't know how to say no. So it was like, I think we bought into this notion that we could do it all. Mm. So it's, okay, I'm trying to hold down the home front, he's trying to work, and then, you know, we don't ever say no to anything that's asked of us in ministry, because this is the God's work.
Right.
And not understanding that that's not really healthy, that it is okay sometimes in certain seasons to say no, you know, because my first ministry obviously is at home.
So good.
Right. Yeah. So I think that we struggled with that. And, you know, I know for me, just speaking very transparently, I don't know that I always honored and respected and submitted to Tyrone's leading as it pertained to ministry, because I was like, just being naturally a people's pleaser, it's let's say yes to everything. And, you know, for me, where I thought it was, oh, you're not being deep enough, I recognized, no, he was using wisdom. And when he was saying, let's scale back, I'm like, no, let's go full steam ahead. Mm-hmm. And us not having that balance, and him just being absolutely stressed out. And at this point, I was a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
But still, that's, you know, with young children. So I just look back and see how in many ways I was a foolish woman because of my own brokenness and insecurities and wanting to please people. And I think buying into this notion that if I love Jesus, I never say no to anything that's asked of me in ministry. And that's okay. Such an unhealthy viewpoint, right, to have. So looking back on it, I really wish that I had submitted more to the leading of my husband as it pertains to that ministry, home life, marriage balance.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
So, yeah, it was demanding, you know, balancing that demands. Mm-hmm. I would just echo that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Anika, you talked about something that I thought was pretty interesting. You said that you had to learn how to lean on each other's strengths in order to balance each other out. What was the process of doing that? I ask that because I feel like with me and Joe, we've had to learn how to do that, where it was kind of hard, where it was like, oh, well, you know, I'll do this and, you know, you do that. But it wasn't really working because we didn't really understand each other's strengths. So it was hard for us. And I feel like a lot of couples deal with that too. So what was your process in learning his strength and your strength and using that?
Well, for me personally, I think if I'm going to be honest, I think I was extremely prideful. So as far as I was concerned, I was the one with the strengths. Mm. You know, like we say that's things real. Like, oh, yeah, I know he got his strength and I got my strengths. I would say that. But in my mind, I'm thinking
I could do it better.
Yeah. No, truly. Like just very prideful. Like, you know, I'm the powerhouse. Yeah. Like I know he the head. But look, I'm the one that got the prophetic gift. I'm the one that, like, just very prideful. Yeah. I can look back now. So I think that the process for me started where the Lord had to just really show me, you are so absolutely prideful. And yes, you may have these gifts, but he also has gifts, right? Because sometimes when we talk about the body of Christ, for some reason, we don't make the connection that that also includes our spouse, right? Mm-hmm. And he gives gifts to all of us. Right. And I recognize now, just seeing Tyrone's strength, the Lord knows, and I say it now, that I needed a Tyrone Jones in my life, because his gifts complement what God has given me. Mm. And whereas I can be very, what's the word? Impulsive.
Sure.
He is extremely, like, God has really given
your personality type.
Yeah. My personality type. Mm-hmm. He's very discerning. Mm-hmm. And where I used to be like, you don't have faith. And he's like, no, I could see clearly. And for me, it's like, let's just run, you know, sprint through this thing. And it's like, let's sit, let's process this. He's a processor. I am not.
We're the same way. Yeah. I am not.
I process after we crash. And like, okay, we could have prevented this crash if, you know, and then he's like, hey. So I think for me, just first of all, seeing myself and just seeing the pride that was there and recognizing that I wasn't as wonderful as I thought I was.
Ooh, wow.
And kind of coming down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then God just suddenly opening my eyes to the gift that was before me. Now, I don't want to paint a picture and say that he was perfect or whatever, because I do feel like, if he's honest, in some ways he kind of put down his role of leading because of my strong personality too.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was like, hey, I'm not just going to continue to speak words, and hey, you know, I felt like, you know, it's no point. So as a result, I kind of abdicated my role, yeah, if you will. Instead of, I was like, hey, she gonna do what she gonna do, I'm just gonna do me. And so even in the midst of doing a good thing such as ministry and doing the different responsibilities, the enemy can come in that way.
Yes.
And so we had to learn how to prioritize our first ministry, which is home, our marriage, each other, tend to the home front. And then from there, we had to really learn to prioritize and to say no. Mm-hmm. And though, once we started to do that, then we started to become in sync.
Yes.
And as the scripture says, a house that's divided cannot stand. And right. So we became on one accord. Unity started to come. Mm-hmm. And we started to kind of just mesh together.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was a beautiful process.
Yes. And some people may have the misconception that this takes maybe a year or two. This is probably taking how many years for you guys?
Oh, years.
A lot of years.
Probably 19 to be exact.
Yeah. Something like that. Like, we were just reflecting, and I'm like, I mean, I feel like, of course, you never reach the point of perfection until you see Jesus, but I feel like we're in such a good place now. Like, we were just reflecting, and it's like, man, you know, like, just having that balance. And just honestly speaking, from a wife's perspective, me learning to submit and not devalue the strengths of my husband and allow him to cover and to carry. And it's just made such a difference in him being willing to lead.
Yes. And the Lord just opened our eyes to see the gifts and how uniquely he has gifted each other, you know, our spouse.
Yeah.
So same thing. It's like the Lord helped me to see Anika in such a greater way. I was able to not just to focus on the areas of improvement, but just to see all of her and the strengths as well, and then vice versa. And so just by seeing that, that was a beautiful thing. But I don't want to skirt over a season in our life where things were just difficult, where I just abdicated the role and I became more self-centered. In a process, you know, I just kind of withdrew emotionally from my spouse. And as a result, that was just a difficult season. So sometimes when you're not on one accord, I know for me, I emotionally withdrew. And as a result, I didn't treat my spouse like I should have. You know, I wish I could, you know, sit here and just say, hey, you know what? I did everything right from A to Z. I don't want to come off that way, because during that season, it was difficult. I mean, there were a lot of tears that was shed, you know. But one of the things that I realized is that, hey, marriage is not 50-50.
Yeah.
Sometimes marriage is 95-5, 70-30, 80-20. But during that season, which I was not pouring in and not living up to being a godly spouse that God's called me to be, I praise the Lord that, you know what, something in her rose up, and she didn't, you know, respond in the same way that I was responding. Instead, I was giving out just this ugliness. She was pouring back love, and she was interceding. Mm-hmm. She went to her prayer closet, and her prayers went to another level. She literally start warning the spirit, because I was in this dark place with dark clouds, and it wasn't for a day, it wasn't for a month, it was maybe for a couple years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And which it was just, I was just kind of just being a roommate, mm-hmm. you know, and I was just, hey, I made these vows, I'm just going to honor them, but I'm going to let you feel the hurt that I'm feeling. Yeah. You know,
all while doing ministry.
All while doing ministry.
I feel like that's, you know, that, and looking back on it, that was nothing but the grace.
You can see how effective ministry was, yeah. probably, you know, because yeah, it right. was, you know, it wasn't something that obviously the Lord was pleased with, but it was just like I was just in the moment of just going through the motions.
Yeah. So Anika, because he's talking about him being in this place, and then he's saying how you were pouring love on him and you were praying for him. What was your process like? Like, what was in your mind that you were like, I'm going to pray for that him. I'm not going to quit. That,
yeah. Okay. So first of all, it wasn't Anika. Cause, I was like, oh, he is for real. Like just being so hurtful right now. And it was, but it was really the Holy Spirit. Like something just clicked for me. And it was like the Lord just began to remind me of different things that he had spoken concerning us. And when I say to you that it was really not me, I can reflect back and it's like, God, how did I have the strength? I know that that was no one but you. But he started reminding me of different things that he spoke concerning us. And it was like he gave me the vision to see that my husband was really being oppressed by the enemy, and that Tyrone himself was not the enemy. Right. And, you know, like he said, God just got me to this place where he's like, you're going to have to put on your big girl's pants and you're going to have to get into war mode. And see, that was a growth period for me as well, because I wanted to sit and nurse my wounds. And God was like, you need to go into warfare motion. Like, you don't have time. And let me clarify that. It's not to say that God was saying, I don't want to hear about your pain. Mm-hmm. I took that pain to God definitely in prayer, but that wasn't my only prayer.
Right.
It was after I, you know, cried or whatever and told God how much it hurt, he then took me to a place of just truly interceding for my husband. So I couldn't be self-centered, because it's like he gave me the vision to see that there's so much at stake here.
Yeah.
And the enemy would have loved for me to say, you know what? Yeah, divorce is sounding wonderful right about now.
Right. So she forgot about herself, yes. if you will. Yeah. And as a result, was able to step back and have what the old saints say, an out-of-body experience, right? And able to see what was going on. It's like the Lord gave her spiritual eyes to see and able to see, like, hey, the attack that I was at. So instead of calling me the devil, which I was acting like the devil, right? I'm not, just be honest. I was treating my children. I was being a father, holding down the father box, right? Definitely. Holding down the servant box at church in public ministry, holding down the career box, and doing those things. So checking the box there, but wasn't checking the box of my wife. Mm-hmm. But as a result, she's able to see with her heavenly eyes and start to really pray and intercede for my behalf. And so as a result, she, her prayers became the salt to provide healing and deliverance for me. And it just so happened that I remember vividly, it's like, you know, it's kind of like you ever been in a storm and you're driving and then as you continue, the storm is ugly, the clouds are dark, and it's raining, it's a little thundering. But as you continue to move forward, you know, eventually it lets up. Mm-hmm. And you kind of, you know, see clear, you know, you just come out of it. That's how I felt one day when I was driving home. And I remember I came to her. I was like, sweetie, I've been tripping.
Wow. He walked in.
I was like,
he didn't even say hello.
I've been tripping. I see. It's like the scales fell off.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. And so it's like, I wish I could say I went to the altar and they said, you know, in the name of Jesus, they prayed, they got the blessed oil. It didn't happen there. It didn't happen in service. It happened when I was driving home and the scales fell
off.
Man,
that's so good.
It's like, I've been tripping. This is the bus stop girl. This is the sunshine.
This is the bus. This is the sunshine.
She's not the enemy. And so as a result, you know, and so the Lord helped me to fall in love with her all over again.
Beautiful.
You know, where I started to pursue her. just like it was in the beginning. Yeah. But it took the prayers of the righteous spouse interceding. Yeah. So, because, you know, that's when again, I go back, it's not 50-50, because I couldn't, life had its way with me so much that I was just losing hope. Mm-hmm. I was hurting, I was bleeding, I was in pain. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I say God will repay you double for your trouble.
Come on. Come on now.
I can. That's what I'm saying. No, I'm just kidding.
It's all right. It is all right.
This is life and love. Be real. It's okay. Right.
But I just want to say, you know, and that was the thing that was, you know, just so hurtful, because like this man pursued me like nobody's business. Like when we were dating and just even in the engagement, like he went above and beyond. So when we went through this rough spot, it was just like, okay, you went from having me on this pedestal and just, you know, just being there and adoring me to now almost like loathing me.
Yeah.
And that was so hard. And, you know, if I just may speak transparently, at that point, I was dealing with a lot. I, you know, have alopecia. And at that point, it had gotten to a really just bad part. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't feeling beautiful, going through having these different babies and weight gain and just feeling like not great about myself. Right. So I felt like, man, this is just like pouring salt on an open wound. When I needed him, mm-hmm. I felt the most to just say, hey, I think you're beautiful, even though you don't have any hair on your head right now, mm-hmm. even though you've gained quite a few pounds. You know what I'm saying? Like, I needed that, and to not have him there in that moment to say that was even harder. But I think God used that season not only to refine him, but to also refine me, because God brought me to a place of understanding that he, God, is enough. Like, praise God for a husband, mm-hmm. but God is like, you need to shift your gaze off of Tyrone. Good. This is not your source of happiness right here, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I am enough. So, and you know, I had my own baggage to deal with. So it wasn't just about Tyrone in that season. It was a lot that God was doing in me. But now that we've come out on the other side, it's sometimes I just sit and I'm in awe, because again, like I was saying earlier, God gives you double for your trouble, where I feel like it's the pursuit that he now has for me. It's at a greater level, and it's not just at the surface. You know, you're giddy initially or whatever, but yeah. I was just even telling him and speaking to my older daughter, and I'm like, I pray that you're able to find a husband that has the qualities that your dad does. Because when I say I feel so covered by my husband, and to see, so it's not this, oh yeah, he's just bringing me bouquets every day and chocolate and, you know, it's none of that. It's so much deeper than that. Like, I feel so secure mm-hmm. and so covered and so loved. Yeah. And it's deeper than what I had held to in the beginning, if that makes sense, it right?
Absolutely.
So,
and you just see spiritual warfare, and especially when you start serving and for the Lord in ministry, you know, the enemy's just not going to sit back and be like, all right, you know what, y'all can just go ahead. Right. He's going to try to disrupt and devour you. Mm-hmm. I mean, so as you continue to serve in ministry, you have to arm yourself, mm-hmm. you know, recognizing that the enemy is just going to come at you. And so that was a ploy, a strategy of the enemy, was to, you know, obviously wreak havoc internally within us, within me particular, you know. And as a result, you know, we see that the warfare came. However, she stepped her warfare game up as well. And once mm-hmm. she continued to pray and intercede, that helped me to finally get it. Like, oh, I can see I'm out this spiritual dark place. Yeah. I'm able to see clearly what's going on. Devil, you're not going to have us. Devil, you may have wreaked havoc in me and you oppressed me, but you, those days are no longer going to mm-hmm. be here. Mm-hmm. Those days are behind us. I see your ways. I see you moving, but I command you to go, and you're going to cease and desist from here. And as a result, you know what? It helped me to see clearly my good thing, right?
Yeah,
you know, and as a result, we're able to move forward. But it's not to say that, hey, our eyes are now open. Like, mm-hmm. oh, we see what's going on. We peep you, devil.
We see you right now.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not to say that we don't have rough moments. We do, but I think that season we could see how good came of it, because we were like, we don't have time to be stuck on petty. Like, we're not, because it starts with little things, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes a slow decline. So I feel like because of that season, we came out so much stronger, and we don't stay in a place because we recognize we got kingdom work to do. Yeah. Like, for real. Yeah,
definitely.
For real.
So good. Man, that's good. Wow. Speaking of kingdom work, tell us a little bit about Living for Later, Anika.
So Living for Later is my, I have a blog and a YouTube channel. And just my heart in that is getting people to understand that it's not just about living for now. Like, there is eternity awaiting you. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, on that video, on the YouTube channel, I just post videos to encourage people in their daily walk to remain centered on Christ and just that mindset of the later and being with him in eternity. So it's just practical tools to prepare you really for later, getting in the word. And, you know, I share different lessons that God teaches me in the mundane. Yeah. Just that's the way God speaks to me, right? So it's nothing like earth shattering, just very practical tips. So, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. You guys can find Living for Later on YouTube.com. Put in the search description, Living for Later, or Anika Jones. And she has tons, maybe hundreds of videos.
Yes.
That if for every walk of life, from parenting to home life, and part of her amazing testimonies are on there on her channel. Like and subscribe that. So we're wrapping up. And so if you guys could give one of the biggest pieces of advice to newlywed couples, what would that be?
That's a loaded question.
Take all the time for me.
Well, I would just encourage them to focus on, as they continue to put energy and effort in planning for the actual wedding, that they do so threefold for the actual marriage.
Yeah.
You know, and use that energy. Get connected to a community that's pro-marriage, that's not trying to just run and be on their own agenda, but really support each other, because that's one of the consistent themes we've had. And then don't feel like you have to do everything. Mm-hmm. You know, really prioritize the home, serve, do your career if the Lord's calling you to do that, but definitely be mindful of your commitments. Mm-hmm. And don't buy into the mindset that, hey, because even inside the church, you hear this a lot. God's grace is sufficient. Oh, just have faith. God will equip you as you continue to say yes. And so, you know, you're not spiritual robots. You know, you can't just do every single thing. And so I would just encourage them to do that. And then financially, I would just encourage them just to not.
You just went to
another that's a whole nother episode. That's a whole nother
episode. I got to at least put that in there for now. But don't, again, same advice.
Yes.
Don't take on more. If anything, less is more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and serve, give of your time and your talents and your treasures, but don't buy into the culture of trying to consume everything. Mm-hmm. Many times that was causing some of the weight, is because we went from having this income, these two incomes, to now one income.
Yeah,
and as a result, trying to continue to live on that lifestyle was not good.
Yeah.
And as a result, created additional stress. So I would just encourage them to operate like that.
To be content.
Lots of gems there.
To be content. Yeah.
To be content. I would say for newlyweds, get over yourself.
Ooh.
Ooh. truly, just get over yourself and don't always focus on your spouse, because it's funny, even as we speak to newlyweds, you know, over the years, it's always that consistent theme where it's they're telling on their spouse, but really after you sit and you listen long enough, you realize you need to get over yourself. And I'm not saying that your spouse didn't do anything wrong. So I would just say, go sit down and die somewhere. Like, for real, you know, scripture talks about dying daily.
Yeah.
And again, for some reason, we take those scriptures and we apply it to every area of our life except for marriage.
Yeah.
And we do need to. So just, I would say to every single newlywed, one of the biggest ways to get through the rough patches is to not be inward focused.
Yeah.
And to not discount the power of prayer. Like,
amen.
We've seen firsthand, and not just in the season that he described, but we've made it a habit to come together and pray. So I wasn't the only one praying, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Throughout our marriage, when he got to where he needed to be, we made it a habit to come together. So I would say, don't ever be so angry with each other that you are not taking the time to pray together.
Amen.
Awesome, awesome advice. You guys, I love y'all so much.
We love you too.
Man, man. Again, congratulations, 19 years.
Thank
so
you.
Many, so many good things. We've been trying to take notes and stuff.
Yeah.
But we're going to have some episode notes and all that stuff. Again, if you're not following Redeemed Church Living for Later, you can find them on youtube.com. And of course, you can get linked into the community of Life and Love. And let's have some more discussion around some of these things. How can you apply this to your marriage? What was the most impactful for you? And let's talk about it. All right, you guys. Thank you again, Joneses.
Thanks so much, Joneses.
Thanks
thank
for
you
having
for
us.
Having us.
So
absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, you guys.